is always with His children. And so for a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about a couple of things. Number one, the dangers that we experience by being a people of faith. Now, the personality that it brings out can vary to some degree, but the ultimate intent of the Creator is that He bring us to maturity and that He give us hope, not only now, but for the days to come. Can I say something about the danger? Sometimes it's rather overwhelming. Could I get an amen? I mean, under God, when we start to considering all the things that happen around us. In looking at that, I want to look at three small elements. Number one, I want us to see the very conduct of the soldier within the faith. Something happens. Number two, I want us to take into consideration the confidence of the soldier. And number three, I want us to consider the compassion of the soldier. God has given us a life of faith. The life of faith declares that we look to God in all circumstances. Now, class, here's the setting. The children of Israel are about to go into Canaan. They are going to go into a land that they have never lived in. But they have been given the deed to it by God. And I was doing a little studying this week. And I've made some major conclusions. Our lives are affected in every given day by the Jew. We've gotten so many things. I made a list of them and I run out of energy and quit writing them. We get the idea of our numbing medicine from the Jew. You ever go to the dentist? And you say, don't hurt me. He'll say, well, I'm going to give you a little Novocaine. We got that idea from them. Of course, we got a lot of dirty stuff from them too that we don't want to talk about. But there are multiplications of things that we get from the Jew. But what are we getting in the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy? We're getting the conflict that they encounter because of who they are. They're going to a land that they've been given by promise. There's enemies there. There's problems there. There's people there. And any time you get where people are, you got problems. Let's honor God's word by standing this morning. I wanted to get at least a clear enough of an overview of the 20th chapter in hopes that my reading would be suffice and it would help us. I want to deal primarily, the message was birthed from one word. It was the word faint-hearted. Because in so many occasions, we become faint in our mind, in our bodies, and in our spiritual lives. And a faint-hearted person is not a good soldier. But every soldier will face moments of being faint-hearted. I did a little research. The word faint-hearted is only listed in three verses in your Bible. Are you still with me, class? Then why, preacher, is it such an issue? Because the personality of it rests in several different areas. So you listen in a hurry. I'm going to preach real fast, and we'll be out of here in just a little while. All right, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. If you found it, would you acknowledge by saying amen? When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of thee. For what? For the Lord thy God is what? Now, class, I don't know if you mark in your Bible, but if you've ever taken a pen and marked any verse of Scripture in all of your Bible, this is a good place to start marking. It's a good place because the presence of God is revealed. And anywhere the presence of God is revealed, something radical is going to happen. Oh, thank God the Lord will not forsake me when I get in trouble. Amen. He said, hey, he'll be with you, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when they are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now I want you to give a little consideration to that, because I think people don't understand. You sometimes really have to be walked through trouble. And you have to be guided through trouble. Go ahead and be seated. I knew I was going to do this. I'm not talking about playing with your mind. I'm not talking about being positive in your demeanor. I'm talking about walking you through the pages of Scripture and finding Scripture that will sustain your walk and lead you along life's way in full assurance. Now let's read along now, because we don't want you to be in danger. And shall say unto them, watch him now, the priest, listen, shall approach the people and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts, what? Faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Now, it's been my custom in days gone by that if I encountered something that I had some concerns about, man, I go to trembling. But I cross a certain place in my life where my trembling turns into something that I can't define for you. And when I get that, that's human now. Don't you get the wrong impression. I'm not advising you to get there. But I'm telling you that when I reach that point, it's like something trips inside me in the past. And all of a sudden, whatever was happening didn't really bother me anymore. I mean, buddy, when you get me to that point, I kind of walked off in a place. You'd have to have been there to know what I'm talking about. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that you don't have to reach that point. You say, why? He said, don't tremble. Amen. Amen. Man, I want to tell you, he said, don't you be afraid. Don't you be afraid. Y'all didn't hear what I said. He said, don't you be afraid. Amen. You're going to battle. Now, it's not a matter, am I going to have hard times? It's a matter of when you had hard times. Is that right? So go ahead and get past that. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. To do what? To fight for you against who? Your enemies. To do what? Now, is there any question about the mindset of God when it comes to his people? Did you hear what I said? Now I'm going to reel this thing fast forward, and you can go home and read it for yourself when you want to. Don't take up my time and try to read. I need to communicate with you for just a little bit. So don't be trying to read while I'm preaching. You're going to miss something God's trying to say. What I'm finding out that in spite of all of these experiences, in spite of all of these problems, in spite of all of these pressures, God is going to advise them on what they must do and who they must trust and where they must go, no matter what kind of problems they have. When he gets to a certain portion in that chapter, he will start reminding them of the people that are there. He named them. The Hivites, the Amorites, all the Ammonite boys is there. The Ammonite boys are trouble. And some of the dangers that rest is not only the fact that they are there, some of the things that are the problem are the performances of their life, and they'll have influence on you and on your family. Amen. Now what we do in modern technology is try to bring people above and beyond where they've been. Yeah. This whole world that we're living in has done all that they can to try to improve. Now, they've done some things a little better. Don't you remember we used to have telephones? It was that old hard metal piece that you had to dial, and it seemed like it took it a century to get from one number to the next. We had televisions you turned on and come back a minute or two later, and it finally goes up and running. We've come a long way. We started out, boy, my old uncle had a 46 Ford, I believe it was. And when I was a boy, I used to go out there. Y'all remember that push button start? Lord God, the gears. I used to see him. I liked it when he got drunk because he couldn't tell what I was doing. He done that pretty regular. And I'd go out there, me and my cousin. He's a little younger than me. And man, I'd hit that button. And I'd start that thing, I'd ride it all over Grandmama's yard. And that wasn't a Cadillac, but to me, son, that was like riding in a Cadillac. And it, you know how it was. And I mean, you could hit a bump, bless God, I felt like Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, it was uptown, and I was excited. But I've been in a few automobiles since I've been in that 46 Ford. I'm here to tell you, we've come a long way, baby, from where we were. But I want to tell you, there's some things have not changed. The way we feel in our problems, are y'all with me? They have, boy, I feel the power of God in this room. The problems that we have, they have the same impact on us now that they may have had 25 years ago. Oh, we may get to certain moments in our life where we felt like that we're doing better now than we ever did. I didn't ask if you was doing better. I ask if you have some of the same conflicts and problems you had 25 years ago, if you lived that long. Now I want to tell you, modern technology cannot fix that. I want you to look in verse number 8 now. Because why is it that the King of Glory has to constantly remind us of who we are, of what we are, of where we are? I'll tell you why. Because the turbulence within our human lives, are y'all still with me? The turbulence that is in our human lives is always gnawing at us. It's always hounding us. It's always pushing us. And hell will be hell when it's on fire. Now look at verse 8. You found it? Say amen. And the officers shall speak further unto the people. And they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. I've had a little bit more time to digest the scripture than you have because I knew where I was going to preach. So I want to be fair to your thought pattern. And I want to tell you that I've come to two conclusions. One, I've come to a conclusion where within the life of the soldier, there must be a spirit of compassion for people that are not as strong as other people. Now I'm here to report in this morning, there have been some people that have been a real strong backbone in this church, and they've stood with God, and they've stood with the church, and they are considered a pillar within the community. But we've had some that's come in that were going to set the world's afire. Go ahead. They were going to fight hell with a water pistol. They may have stayed a day or a week. And do you know there's still a real concern? People are reluctant to uniting with a certain body of believers because they are a little alarmed about the conflict of the church. Yeah. Believer, beware. If Jesus died for the church, it's worth uniting with. When he told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He was not authenticating that Peter was the only person that you could stand with. It wasn't about Peter's person. It was about the... You want to preach? See us out, run outside. I'm here to tell you that God saw that the faith that was within Peter was a faith that should live inside of every believer. And that's what he was pointing to. So now let's consider three little words that God makes it crystal clear, vitally important, that every person ought to give consideration to. Number one, everybody does not arrive at the same spiritual place at the same time. It takes some people a long time to get it. Now, I'm about like you. I got my doubts about some of them. Is that right? I mean, anybody ever been lied to? Hold your hand up. I just want to see if I'd send the company. This world is so unpredictable. Don't you think the time has come in our lives that we need to understand why we are where we are and why we are who we are and what do we intend to do in knowing that? I'm here to tell you the word faint-hearted is a vital and descriptive word. It is explosive in that it tells us that people have become weak in their heart. The inner man. I want to be descriptive in three categories. Number one, the inner man. The mind of man becomes weakened. The devil ever mess with your mind? Trouble ever mess with your mind? Disease ever mess with your mind? I'm here to tell you, God knew what they were up against. And he did not renegotiate his plan. And I know what some of you said. Well, why in the world did the Lord lead me down this road? Because you need it. Why did the Lord lead me to this church? Because you need it. I determined there's a demand for my kind of preacher. Thank you. I got about half a dozen people still want me. Y'all want me here as your pastor, don't you? I mean, I really ain't got much time to play games. Time's running out. How you doing, Chris? I'm just so good I can't hardly stand it. I'm here to tell you that something's going on in the ministry of their troubles. And God begins to point to them and begin to talk to them. He said, the first thing I want you to know is I know what kind of condition you're in. You're faint-hearted. Now let's dissect for just a moment. And let's get a clear concept now of where we're going, okay? Number one, if it was not important, considering the mental condition of these people, I do not believe God would have ever mentioned it. I've been preaching over 26 years, and I have never seen a time in all of my ministry when the mental capacity of so-called believers in church life was attacked like it is right now. I've never seen a time when people are so distraught by the complications in their life. I look in the newspaper, and every day you can find somebody that's lost their home. You can look around, and you can see all these things that look so promising. A man told me just the other day, he said, I've been served notice, and he said, I've only gotten, he named the days to get my finances in order because they're going to come take my property, they're going to take my house, and all this stuff. I've gotten him named the day until he's going to lose all that he's got. Do you understand the tremendous grip of the things within this world and how much of a stronghold it has on our families? I know a person needs some place to live. So no matter what you're living in, be thankful for it. I've told my kids, it doesn't really matter. Everything that you get is a gift of God, and what you get, take care of it. I don't give a rip if you live in a camper or you live in a mansion. Whatever God's given you, enjoy it. Brother Absalom, I hope this is no disrespect, told me one time he lived in a bus. And that man stood there, sat there in that chair, and he said, preacher, you just don't know where I've been and what I've been through, but I've seen some pretty rugged times. I believe he told me he went all the way to Florida. Man, he lived in a bus, and thank God, God blessed him and he grew and in every area you can hardly imagine. Kind of glad he joined this church. If he did die the next day. And I began to weigh it all out. And I thought, you know, God, by now I thought I had this thing under control. I thought that all the things that are pounding in my heart and weighing heavily on my life, I want to be at an age they don't bother me no more. But I've never gotten there. If y'all believe what I'm telling you, would you say amen?
Amen.
Boy, I want to tell you, God knew that what he had for them Israelites was better than anything they ever had. But they're going to fight to get it. You said it wasn't a gift. Oh, yes, it was. But do you understand the claims that God had on his children came with conditions? Don't ask me to pray God give you good health and you live like the devil and walk away smelling like the world and the dogs of this world and slurp yourself off into a pit somewhere. I want to tell you, if you're going to live for God, I want to pray you got good health. But don't get reckless on it. Matter of fact, one of the greatest warnings that was told in the 20th chapter is that the Lord himself warned them that they better not take up with them people and do what they did. Matter of fact, he said you better wipe them out. Hey, I want to challenge you on something. Go back and tell me where they are now. Try to find them tribes. Go try to find them tribes. Oh, I got you really thinking now. You're going to be searching a long time. You're going to come to a few conclusions. Oh, God. Number one, you're going to come to a conclusion that when God wipes them out, it's over. Now, let me give you a couple of things that the Lord did in his compassion, in his divine goodness. He said, you can clean them out, but the children and the babies, you leave them alone. I'll tell you, one of the biggest hurdles that church life has today is it is oftentimes accompanied by people that's got all the answers. They've had all the answers for 20, 30, 40 years. And can't nobody tell them nothing. Can't nobody do nothing. But I can take these little babies and these little youngins and I can take them around, take them down to my house, and they love the preacher. Don't matter how many people's tried to cuss him. You know, I thank God, I don't hope this don't ever happen. I don't want no cussing from nobody in my church. I just want you to know that. Matter of fact, I don't know how good a man I am. I'm telling you, Adrian told me, she said, Daddy said, if I was you, I'd just be real careful with that. I don't believe I'd want to hit nobody with that. Right? I said, Adrian, if you ever get to the point you want to hit somebody, you ain't going to take time to think about whether that's right or not. Now, that's just a joke. $100 blown to you. He done thought it. Don't you lie, son. Weak of the heart. Our churches are filled with people that are faint-hearted. I didn't say they were perverts. I didn't say they were good for nothing. I said they become faint-hearted. Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. Sometimes it seems that things are always after our hope, always after our joy, always after our peace of mind. You know, I told you that after the inner man, the mind of man. Can I just name the others and I don't leave you hanging? After the will of man. The devil's trying to do everything he can. The reason that he starts with your mind is because once he plants the seed in your mind, he tries to develop it so that you put it into an action. It becomes the seed of your emotions. Huh? Oh, man, I've never preached this. Oh, I've preached all around it. I've preached a piece here and a piece there. I ain't going to preach this. I'm preaching it this morning. And you need it. I done got word from heaven, you need it. There always seems to be something to keep us from, to keep us looking around. Hey, look right here at me for just a moment. Let me just poll the congregation. And I want you to listen to me very clear. Has anything got you skeptical? Has anything happened in your life that's got you rethinking what you're doing? Where you're living? You know, I've had people, the devil messed with them, and he had them thinking about where that's going to church, you know. Everybody's talking about they got this and they got that. Let me tell you something. I don't care what a church has got. If they ain't got the power of God, they ain't got nothing. And this is not the only church where the power of God rests. I believe that. But I can't be in all these churches while I'm pastoring this church. Amen. And I ain't going to be floundering around getting somewhere else when I know that God's visiting me right here. I'd be afraid of that. Wouldn't you? I just thought I'd throw that in for free. Now, the word faint-hearted falls alongside some of our English words like being afraid or being frightened. Being intimidated, becoming weak, being hesitant, being uneasy. And it oftentimes pushes a person to where they feel inadequate, ineffective. You with me, class? A little timid, strongly unstable, disturbed. Horrified. Have I got to you yet? And just downright scared about life. Life is a gift. Look over now in verse number 1. And let's consider the conversation. You ready? Number 1, I want you to see the indicated caution. He said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid. God says, you rest assured, there's trouble coming your way. You be certain about one thing. If you've been saved for 2 minutes, it won't be long. The demons will be trying to bother you. You know, one of the greatest dangers that a new convert has is getting saved on Sunday morning and not getting defeated before Sunday night. I've had people that said they got in on Sunday morning and didn't come back to Sunday night service. That's messed up. I just want you to know it. He said, number one, when thou goest out to battle. God said there's something behind the scene that is the drawing factor that is leading you out to battle. For the record, the word here that he uses for battle gives us the sense of fighting. We're in a warfare. We're not on a playground. We're in a battleground. That's why when we come to church, we shouldn't be playing pencils. We shouldn't be playing games. We shouldn't be playing with any kind of electronic equipment in this church when I'm preaching. Amen. I had some of my preacher friends tell me all kinds of stuff's going on while they're having church. I'm going to tell you something. That's one good thing. I don't see a thing in the world wrong. If your mama or your daddy or something's not on the edge and it's real critical, it wouldn't hurt you 1 minute to turn that phone on silent or something. And if you need to get out, then by all means, if you have an emergency, then you go. But most of the emergencies that happen are emergencies beyond our power and control anyway, so we still don't have to trust God. If your daddy has a heart attack, you are not a cardiologist, you cannot do one thing but pray. He ain't going to have you, he needs a cardiologist. Or somebody that specializes in helping people that have these kinds of occurrences. Boy, she's getting quiet now. You said, what are you doing to us? I'm doing one thing. I'm trying to get you to think about how critical things are in the battle. The word there for battle is not only the word that identifies fighting, it discloses engagement. We need to know when it's time to do something for God and not just be something for us. I've had a lot of people ready, man, they're ready to fight physically, but they won't do nothing for God spiritually at all. Do y'all understand the difference? Now man, I guess, Brother Jason, how tall did you say you are? 6'4"? Stand up just a minute. Y'all turn around and look at that mountain. Is anybody in here taller than 6'4"? Thank you. Is anybody in here taller than 6'4"? I know he is when you put me beside him. You see, the fact is, no matter how big he is in stature, he still has problems internally. You can't win the battles of the inner man with your body.
Amen.
You can only do that with your Bible.
Amen.
Oh, I know. Man, that would put most of them television jokers out of business. They've already told you, you got to send me some seed money. And this don't have nothing to do with any conversation I've just had. This has been going on. There's as many fakes nowadays as they ever was. You don't need to send $1, especially if it's God tithed, somewhere else when you live in this community. What I'm simply saying is God knew the point of their engagement. God knew the fight of their life. God knew where the war was raging. And He knew where it was coming from. God said, they're your enemies. They are your adversaries. They are your foes. And God knew they were opposed to the power that rests from the Holy One. Oh, God.
Amen.
Do you know that if you could silence the spiritual voice in your life, you'd just about conquer the battles in your world. The majority of people nowadays that's in conflict are in conflict based on what's happening in the head. I've been working on a message, and it's entitled on how to say goodbye to the past so I can get on with the present. I don't care to tell you where it was from. It comes from Philemon. Really thought about preaching it tonight. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. How to say goodbye to the past and get on with the present. You remember the slave? Onesimus. You remember the injustice? And you know there's a lot of injustice in people's lives. There's a lot of things in their past that they never have got past it. They can't get around it. And I ain't going to preach that. That's all you get. I'm just trying to tell you that I do study. I do study. Can you tell? Well, I can see now that God is trying to inform them. That He knows that they have people that are opposites to their life. One of the main reasons that people try to keep you as a believer and a member and a pillar out of church in this church. So the devil can disarm you. They've been used as a tool. They've been used as a tool to keep you. That's why you ought to try to be as faithful as you can. Man, I have my family. I told my family a long time ago, I said, y'all can come if you want to. And they drive 200 some miles to get here. But I said, if you're not going to church with me, you stay here till I get back and I'll be back in a little while. That's just the way it is. And I want to tell you right now, ain't nothing more important in your life than getting where God is. I don't care what it is.
Amen.
Ain't nothing more important than that. And if they really love you and they want to spend time with you, they ought to come and get ready to go to heaven with you. And if they ain't ready to go to heaven with you, you can believe right now they ain't got the right idea about this thing. Son, double clutch that baby and let her rip. Hey, have you ever noticed that there are things that the devil uses to try to get between us and God? Huh? Do you know how real that is? You know how real that is? If you're not careful, the devil will get you thinking about things that you need rather than things God wants you to have. Now notice again with me in verse number 1. God said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. Let's deal with that for just a moment. The enemies were a people not only opposite of them, they were a people that were hostile towards them. You know, the strongest element at work in the United States right now? Listen, class. Everybody look at me. You know what the strongest element, I don't say many profound things, this may be profound. The strongest element at work right now in this country is that element that is out to tear apart the fiber of our spiritual hope. They're trying to remove God from the throne. I don't care where they are. I don't care. It don't matter. Man, you give me all you want. I say things. There's been a lot of good men. I mean, I can take you all the way back. I do. I follow. I might be a little bit more knowledgeable of where things are politically than I ever say, because the church is not a place for politics, and I don't want it to ever come across as that. But one thing I want you to understand is I'm not stupid and I'm not ignorant. I do listen. When men try to rip the pages from your Bible and mine, they're out to tear down the foundation of our hope.
Brother, that's a preaching.
And any man, in my Bible opinion, that tears the Word out according to Scripture, you're not to take one dot or tittle from it, is in danger of the judgment. All right? He said they're enemies. Now watch what happens. He said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people what? Come on, all together now. And a people what? More than thou. See, God knew that when they engaged, what was going to happen? You know what was going to happen? The Lord already knew how many people were there. He knew how ruthless they were. He knew what they were capable of. You know, people always picked at Jonah. I don't know why people pick at Jonah so much. Because given the same circumstances and the same opportunity, most people would have done probably the same thing Jonah did. They would have run from responsibility. He didn't want to go to Nineveh for a lot of reasons, I think. And I believe I have enough biblical soundness within my understanding now to admit it. You would never want to go to that place. The prophet Nahum declares some things about that place that was dark and dirty. They claim from the historians that they would cut the heads of men and mount them on the wall for decorations. That's pretty dark and pretty ruthless in my opinion. That's pretty nasty in my opinion. I just know that there's probably some people in here would like to have a mission like that. You just want to go down and try to win them to Jesus. You wouldn't go down there with that little Baptistic theology and say, you boys listen, you dirty, sorry, low down. You wouldn't go down there telling them that. They'd have you hung for the day. You understand where I'm at? He said he knew their enemies. And the first thing that he said, you see us the horses and the chariots and a people more than you. Now, how many's heard about something in your lifetime, but you never saw it? Hold your hand up. You heard about something? All right, thank you. One part of that word for seeth identifies perception. You know, I can tell you where I've been. I can tell you where I come from. I can tell you how it is. I've tried to explain to my kids some of the things that I grew up under, and they don't have the slightest idea of what I'm talking about. You know why? Never been there. They've never been there. You know, the average person talks about, oh, I'm just so tired of hearing them old picking cotton stories. Well, bless God, you go out there and try to pick a little bit and tell me how your hands feel when you get done. Yes, thank God for cotton pickers. My daddy was a diesel mechanic, Brother David. Still is, even though he's retired. These guys ride around, he points and tells them what to do and how to fix the equipment. But if you've never picked cotton, you have no idea what you encounter when you pick cotton. I mean, you get stuck, son. You really get stuck. And when you do it over and over and the blood starts pouring. And boy, when the day is ended and it's getting sore by the minute. Tomorrow you don't want to go to the field. But if your life depends on it, back we go. You see? Boy, I can see it. I can see it now. They had a perception. They had a discernment. And then some of them had the experience. Let me try to bring this to a close. Not because I'm finished, but because I want to try to prove to you just how strong being faint-hearted works. The people that Satan seeks to tear apart are people that can really make a difference. If you believe that, say amen. And he wants to take you apart piece by piece. I mean, man, I look around. I look at people. I honest to God, I do. I can't help but think about it. If you used to come to church all the time and you didn't miss a service and you start missing, you can believe that messes with my head. I'm wondering what's happened. Wonder what's happened. Wonder will they ever mention it to me? Can I help them? And you know one thing about a preacher's life? You just can't meddle in people's lives. You have to wait till they open the door to go in. You just don't walk into people's house without being invited. So God did this. He said, when thou goest to battle and you see horses and chariots. In those days, battle was a common term. It was a common term because a war was something people were acquainted with. You know, this thing that we got going on in the Middle East, that's not new. Just because it's handled with tanks and bombs, it used to be handled with spears, javelins, and knives. And you with me? It's always gone on. Just was a different crowd of fighting it. Same kind of personality is going on. But I said a while ago, the kind of people that the devil wants to destroy is people that are trying. And people that he knows can make a difference. I want to tell you something that I believe to be the appeal of God before each of you in this room today. I think God wants us to be cautious. Be careful. Don't let nothing get between you and God. Because no matter how little of a piece you think it is, it grows. Huh? Boy, we had a real serious part in this service right now. This is important right here. It's not game playing time. This is serious right here. There shouldn't be any distraction at all right now. It's amen. Serious, 100% cut right down the line. I want you to stand all across the room.
Amen.
I wonder if this morning you'd say, Pastor, I'd like to come today and I'd like to ask God to help me because I know I've become faint-hearted in my walk. Or I've had so many conflicts and so many engagements that I feel like I've been weakened and I'd like to come and recover. Would you step out right now? Just come and start gathering. Oh, preacher, I want to come. I just want God to know that I want to be right where He wants me. I want to do what He wants me to do. I don't want nothing to get between me and God. It's so important that we don't let nothing get between us and God. Can I say a couple things while they're coming? I think it's come time to be real. I've seen people come to church and courtship got in the way between them and God. You ever had a man met a woman or a woman met a man and they were committed and all of a sudden something happened and boy, they lost it. Huh? I mean, do you not think for one minute that if something happened and something distracted my family and got my boy or my daughter out of church, that I wouldn't be concerned about it? I'd be real concerned about it. I'd be out to do something. We can no longer play this game. It's serious. If people want to spend time with us, they need to come where we worship. They want to do something, let's gather around the table of worship. It'll make a big difference. Head bowed and eyes closed now. While she's playing, I wonder if you're in this room and you'd just admit where you're standing. Pastor, the truth is I've been in a battle. I might be in a battle right now. And I want to tell you, I've never seen a time when it seems like everything's pulling at the seams of my life. I need your prayers. Would you please pray for me? Hold your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See hands going up all over this room. All over this room. God can help you. He is your greatest and dearest friend. He can help you. I wonder if you're in here and you say, Pastor, God's spoken real clear to me. And not only do I want you to pray, but I'm going to pray about my condition this morning. I'm going to ask for your participation. Would you hold your hand up now? Let me see. You say, I'm going to pray and ask God to help me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask God to help me. Anybody else? Say, I'm going to ask God to help me. I want to do better. I wonder if you're in this place and you say, I'm just defeated, preacher. And I know it. And I'm at the most critical state in my life. Please don't forget me. Would you hold your hand up? Let me see where you're at. Anybody else? I'm at my most critical state. Please pray for me, preacher. Our Father, we come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, thanking you for what he means to us. I thank you for these people that were urgent in their coming to this altar. Thank you, dear Lord, that you speak volumes of hope and truth to them. You've done miracles in the lives of many of these people in this room. There's no question about that. So now help them to do what they need to do. And for these that lifted their hands in this room this morning, Lord, you know how critical things are for them. You can set the stage. You can put things right where they're confused and down and out and disturbed. You can fix all of that. And God, I pray for those that lifted their hand this morning, that the most crucial state they've ever been in their life. They need help. Lord, help them more than anything to understand this little preacher loves them and he's concerned about them. And Lord, if somewhere in this room this morning people have gotten careless, help them to get committed again. Help them, dear God, to give it all to Jesus, because he can do so much with their life. Thank you for such a clear example and illustration as your people, Israel. Thank you for caring. Now you go with us as we leave this place, having confessed our faults and our failures and our inabilities. Dear God, may we get strength from your Spirit to walk on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I thank you for your participation in the service this morning. What the?